You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Each week during this show, we share the stories, expertise and knowledge of business leaders large and small all across Oxfordshire with you, the listener. And this Sunday is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about an update on property in Oxfordshire. And to do that, I'm joined by Mark Cavanagh of MK Mortgages, Kevin West of West the Property Consultancy, and Greg Barnes of Brecken & Brecken. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our three guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Before that song, I enlightened you that we're going to be sharing an update on property in Oxfordshire today. So let's start by introducing our three experts. Mark, can we start with you? Do tell the listeners all about you and MK Mortgages.
Hi, morning, Ben. Morning, listeners. My name's Mark Cavanagh. I'm the owner of MK Mortgages, a small sort of bespoke mortgage brokerage based in Bicester, Oxfordshire. And the focus of the business is helping a wide range of clients looking to buy their first homes, buy their first investment properties, as well as remortgaging for the various purposes available. One of our key differences as a business is that we do not charge any client fee. So our advice, time, processing of your application is all fee free because as a mortgage advisor, we're paid commission by the mortgage lenders.
Amazing. Next up, Gavin.
Hello, listeners, and hello, everybody. I own a business called West the Property Consultancy, which is a broad-based but small and personal estate agency with a number of key disciplines. We began life in Oxford in 2003, and at that point, we were a residential sales agent and also a new homes business, for we were aligned with a planning consultancy at the time. That's morphed over the space of 21 years. And now, obviously, we've got quite a portfolio of former clients that recommend us. So most of our business is done by, in fact, just over 80% on recommendation and repeat business. We have staff that have been with us for a long time. So they, too, have people that consistently recommend them. So we've become more like the bank manager you used to have where you knew his or her name and they gave a personal service, or the GP we always knew the name of, we don't have anymore. So it's a very personal affair, and we do all things from residential property to commercial property to block and estate management and residential lettings, and still thoroughly enjoy it even though I'm well into middle age.
Amazing. And last but definitely not least, Greg.
Morning, Ben. Thanks, Beck, for the invitation. So I'm Greg Barnes from Brecken & Brecken. We're an estate and letting agency with just over 80 staff through 7 branches in Oxfordshire. We do land and new homes, block management. We've got a big creative team, acquisition, but we're probably better known for sales and lettings, and lettings is my responsibility. The business has been going for 77 years this year, and then the letting, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary. So much like Gavin, we've been around, we've been knocking around the block roughly about the same amount of time. So we've got 20 years in letting, and as he said, we're thoroughly enjoying it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Greg, I'm going to stay with you for one of the tough questions of this morning, if that's okay. You, as have Gavin and Mark, you've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I have. So there's a bit of a story behind this, but it's a bit of a slow one for a Sunday, but I've chosen I Can't Make You Love Me by George Michael. And the story is, it's a bit of a payback for my wife, because she did ask me to request this at our wedding reception some 23 years ago, and I asked for completely the wrong song, so she's never forgiven me. So this is kind of a way of making it up to her from 23 years ago.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that very, very late, but it's better late than never song chosen by Greg, we've introduced our three experts to you. And this morning, what we're going to be doing is sharing an update on property in Oxfordshire. So let's start the roundtable conversation, if that's okay. I'm going to start with yourself, Mark. How is property in Oxfordshire? What's happening?
From my side of things, with clients looking to buy, to be fair, it's the challenge is always how much do I pay for a property and what is it worth? Because we see quite a wide variety of prices. So at the moment, we have seen on occasions where there's demand for property and people are prepared to pay a certain price. But when the mortgage lenders are sending out their surveyors to value properties, we get a little bit of a reduction in what they think it's worth. But that's quite normal in a marketplace like we're seeing at the moment. 2 or 3 years ago, where there was almost boom times, it was rare for properties to have any disparity between purchase price and valuation figure. When we have a market like we do at the moment, there are occasions where you get a bit of a difference in the values. But generally, you know, we've got plenty of first-time buyers looking for property, and probably one of the challenges is, to be fair, is there being enough property for those certainly first-time buyers to find, because they're at the sort of bottom end of the market, and Oxfordshire is quite a expensive, if that's the okay word to use, an expensive place to live. So the challenge for those first-time buyers, certainly if they're on their own, is finding something that's within an affordability.
Amazing. And Greg, you guys are really, really strong on all parts of the business, but let's focus on the letting side. It was widely reported that landlords were leaving the market, but I know that Oxford is somewhat of a microclimate, isn't it? Oxford is very strong. People want to live here. What are you seeing from a lettings point of view, and what are you seeing that are the trends with landlords right now?
That's a really good question. I would say don't believe the hype. So in terms of landlords' exodus, it's certainly not the case. I mean, I think nationally, I'm a member of Property Mark and I've been on the board. And I think if you look nationally, you'll probably find the stats do support that, but probably, again, not as much as the press publicised, but certainly in Oxford, you know, you always get some drift off every year. It's just a natural product of the business we're in. But there's certainly no change or no marked change from what we've noticed in previous years. I think what you do find, and possibly what the press picks up on, is people, when they sell, it's normally because they're at the end of their journey. So, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't particularly highly geared, and that's where the squeeze is. So the people that are selling have literally just because they've done the end of their 15 years and they're at an age where they've decided to move on. So, but as far as people who've just bought and are panic buying and fire selling, it's certainly not what we're finding at all.
Amazing. Mark, did you want to build on that point?
Yeah, I just think, like you say, don't believe all the hype you see in the press, but the word landlord, I think there's a big difference. You know, I've got clients that have been selling property, but it tends to be the clients that have maybe one property, because there's been quite a change in the profitability of owning a single property in a personal name. I think the professional landlords, they're in a very, very different different position. I think probably Greg would agree with that, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Gavin, I'm just going to bring the conversation across to you. And just really in terms of, I guess let's demyth some of these myths that were around a couple of years ago in terms of, I think the Sun newspaper came out and said that there's going to be a big property crash, but it doesn't feel like that's happened with prices. It feels like property in Oxford is stronger than ever. Are you still finding that at the top of the market?
The market's quite, things have changed a lot in the last 5 years, let alone the last 10 years. But the market's quite polarised. So there's a lot of liquidity amongst people who built property wealth over their lives. So that sort of baby boomer, end of baby boomer generation are a big part of the marketplace, whether they're downsizing. I've even got some that are upsizing at 80 years of age, but they're few and far between. Or they're giving money to kids so that kids can obviously, because of the leveraging position these days and the cost of mortgage funding, there's the bank of mum and dad has become also the sort of specter of current day property purchase, particularly with first time buyers, of course. So yeah, I there are certain sectors that are more affected by what's gone on over the past 5 years and since the credit crunch, and that's probably a bit like, as Greg has said, with the lettings market, and also Mark, the same thing, is that where there's higher leveraging, so we're finding in that sort of I say lower value, but in that sort of, let's say, village development type detached property that might be between 600,000 and 800,000 or 900,000 even, where leveraging tends to be higher, that's where prices are much more sensitive. And there are other sectors like that across the market. But otherwise, it's been the acute paucity of supply that's just kept the market on an even keel over what's been a torrid time since the ill-fated mini budget in 2022.
Amazing. And Greg, I'm just keen to build on one of the points you touched on earlier in terms of property market and looking across the country. So Oxfordshire seems to be, I guess, punching above its weight. Why does Oxfordshire always punch above its weight?
Just a number of reasons, really. I think there's a lot of wealth here, which is and that's attracted by, you know, good local business. We're equidistant between Birmingham and London, so two large business centres. University has a big draw, obviously, in private schooling. So I think it's just, and not lose sight of the fact that it's a pretty city to live in. Right? It's, you know, there's a lot of really nice stock and really, really, you know, attractive places to live. So I think that's probably the draw, Ben, if I'm honest. And I think more and more, if you look at, you know, the development that's going on around Oxford, it's you know, there's certainly a focus on it at the moment.
Absolutely. Mark, I'm sure you didn't expect to get this long into the show without me talking about interest rates. What's happening with the world of interest rates? And what are you seeing that's really doing on the ground to people buying property?
I think at the moment, because of the way some of the information is portrayed, there are people out there waiting for a magic moment of house prices falling, along with the mortgage rates falling. You know, these moments don't really come along, or they might do for a very, very short space of time. The reality is, I've been doing this 18 years now, and when I started, you know, mortgage rates were around 5 or 6%. It's only because the last 10, 15 years we've had an unusual situation with such low interest rates, but there are a generation of people now that know no different. You know, they have seen 1 or 2%, and I've got lots of clients now coming off their 2, 3, 5 year fixed rates coming into this new marketplace, and they are experiencing quite a change in their costings. But the world has changed a lot in that time. You know, what we used to see from a client's spending habits has changed massively. What are now deemed to be necessary items weren't even available sort of 15 years ago. So there's been a lot of change, but if we look historically, money's still cheap to borrow. That is the reality. Borrowing money at 4 or 5% is still quite cheap money. It's just a very different situation than it was 2 or 3 years ago, where it's 1 or 2% for the mortgage borrowers. But you know, it's nothing's really changed. You know, the criteria's change from time to time. That's always happened. Mortgage rates go up and down. At the beginning of the year, Halifax started a reduction in their rates, and that drew some competition as the lenders scrabbled around for business. And then over the last couple of months, we've seen rates start to go back up slowly this time, unlike when we had the mini budget, where we had, you know, 0.7, 0.8 increases almost on a daily basis from lenders. Now it's more like a 0.1 or a 0.05% increase as the lenders react to the swap markets and the changes that are constantly going on. So, you know, you can still, it's still easy enough to get a mortgage if you are in the right position. It just takes a little bit more planning.
Absolutely. Mark, I'm going to stay with you for a non-property question, which is a song choice, as with Greg and Gavin shortly. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Well, I've been on the show before, and if anybody remembers, I'm a bit of a Jamiroquai fan, but as the weather's been so horrendous, I'm going to pick 7 Days in Sunny June.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Hopefully we will have 7 days of sun in June. Let's hope for that. So I'm joined by three property experts, so Mark, Greg and Gavin. And they've kindly joined us to really share of what's happening in property in Oxfordshire right now. So Gavin, I'm keen to talk about what you see as the future of property in Oxfordshire. I think that it's probably quite a big question, but I think that over a period of time we've seen lots of new home build developments, whether that be the small boutique builders or whether that be larger builders. We saw over a period of time where actually building costs were potentially low a few years back, and that people were extending their houses, and then building prices have gone up and it's predicted that they're going down. What do you predict is going to happen in property in Oxfordshire over the coming years?
I think it's very sector specific. I think if you're looking at sort of key, very investable areas, if you're wealthy in Oxford, it'll be like the Mark Twain statement that land, they don't make it anymore. If you're buying in central North Oxford, that typical vertical Victorian, beautiful Victorian house, we're into the slightly sub or even super prime market in Oxford. I think that though that market is a sort of surefire bet for the coming decade. Other markets which are more volume will depend on whether developers or whether a developer has built in some value by building in some future proofing, and by that I mean either by design or sustainability, or even if they're appealing to the downsizing market, you know, things like sort of bedroom accommodation on the ground floor with en suites and things. But design, if you look at something like the Northern Gateway or Canal Side, I think it's called, Greg, now, the development that's just going up, which is mixed use with Science Park and retail residential along the canal there. The Hill Group, as they did on the Eastern Bypass, have built a development that looks like the 21st century. And the built landscape is very beautiful as well. I mean, if that goes on and you invest in places like that, I can see those places having a future. But where there's been mass development of very similar property, then I think people should rightly be cautious. I don't think there's any argument to say that there's going to be some major crash, and there is some major banking crash around the world that precipitates it. But I would be looking at the quality of the property that I buy, even if I were a 22-year-old or 25-year-old first-time buyer. I'd be looking at that.
Absolutely. And Greg, just coming on to property from a lettings point of view, I think it's been widely reported that there's been changes in HMO rules and landlord legislation, and actually I think a good piece of advice would be to use a professional like yourself. But what are the things that landlords should be considering right now in terms of making sure that they are protecting themselves and actually making sure they're doing the right thing?
I think I pick up on Gavin's point in terms of quality is really important. So I think the days of the sort of the Ratman landlord are well long gone, and it's definitely about quality. And I think tenants are paying strong market rents, and therefore quite rightly expect strong, well presented property. From a landlord's perspective, I think we have got regulation on the way. I think there's 180 plus pieces of legislation and compliance you need to worry about as a landlord now. Of course, I fully support that. There's some good reasons for using an agent, but there's a lot to think about, and there's a lot of things can trip you up. So I think with a tenancy, if it's going smoothly, everything's fine. But when it goes wrong, that's really when an agent will step up and be well worth the money you're paying them. We've got renters reform, which is coming in, which again is something which is quite noticeable in the press and has been in recent weeks. That's now in its final reading of the House of Commons. So that's basically the end of no-fault evictions, which you've probably heard about. There are going to be some changes coming in the next year or two. Some people are concerned by that. So to answer your question, what should landlords be concerned about? My view is a lot of it's not really there to be worried too much about. Actually, when you read the detail, yes, we're going to have to shift the way we present property and the way that we structure property in terms of tenancy agreements, etc. But I think for 99.9% of landlords, it's not going to make a material change. So, but we'll see how that unfolds over the next year or two. We can obviously keep everyone posted. But yeah, there's going to be some changes, but don't worry, I think it's probably the quick answer.
Amazing. No, thank you. Thank you so much. Mark, just coming across to you, really, just from a, I guess, kind of a getting a mortgage point of view. I think earlier in the show you mentioned that you've got a lot of clients who are going off that 1 or 2% rate and coming on to maybe 4 or 5%. What should you do in that scenario? So, if you can't afford it, what should you do? Because I think it's important that we talk about the top of the market and maybe the bottom of the market is the wrong word, but in that scenario, what are the things to consider? What can you do about it? And at what point should you start planning for that?
Okay, so for our existing clients, we tend to reach out 6 to 7 months before their current deal comes to an end, simply because it allows us time to review the affordability. So for some of those clients, it's just a case of preparing for the change in the rates. And for a lot of clients, because they have been getting, there's been a lot of clients getting pay rises, you know, the pay rise increase has been strong over the last year. So for a lot of clients, that pay rise is going to help offset the change in costs. For those clients who are in a position where they may be slightly overstretched, what we're looking at is, can we change the mortgage term? And obviously there's a risk there to the client where borrowing money over a longer period of time means you're paying back more money. But what we need to do is minimize the impact of that change in the monthly costs. There's the mortgage charter, which will, you know, you can contact your lender and discuss with them the fact that, you know, you're finding it difficult to keep up with the payments, and they can allow a 6-month period on interest only. Again, there are risk warnings associated with taking your mortgage over, you know, onto interest only for 6 months, but it's a short-term solution. But again, because we're talking to clients 6 to 7 months in advance, and because we're not charging any fee, they feel quite comfortable to have that conversation. So as existing clients, we'll look at what will the existing lender provide them for a new mortgage rate, and we'll do a comparison against the rest of the open marketplace. For some people, although there are cheaper rates available, it might only be saving them sort of £2 or £3 a month. So they might choose to stay with the existing lender. But as part of that process, we're going to look at where they're spending the money. Are there some obvious changes? You know, I think nobody that owns a gym is going to be finding this very popular. But however, there are plenty of people paying gym memberships. And when you question them how often you go, it's once or twice. So I think you just have to have a really honest, hard look at the things you're spending your money on. And as I said earlier in the show, you know, we didn't used to be paying for Netflix, Amazon, Sky, and a lot of clients would be paying for multiple services now. So, you know, a lot of people are now getting rid of their landlines. You know, I looked at my landline bill, it's £40 a month, I think it is. I hardly use the landline because everybody's in the house is using a mobile phone. So it's a case of just taking stock and just sitting down and doing the old-fashioned pros and cons and writing it down on a bit of paper, whatever you want to do, spreadsheet, and just look at where you're spending the money. But plan ahead. I'm ex-military, as you know. I'm a big believer in the 5P, so proper preparation prevents poor performance. So yeah, just reach out and think and have a chat with your advisor or look for an advisor who's offering some sort of consultation.
No, really, really good advice. And this might be something that Gavin and Greg can build on a little bit, because I think that as Gavin touched on earlier in the call, like, you know, we are seeing people that are downsizing but also upsizing, and how far should you stretch yourself for a deal? Like, I think that would be something that maybe there isn't a one size fits all, but, you know, if you see that dream house that you could see yourself living in for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, how far should you stretch yourself? And equally for a commercial deal as a landlord, you know, how far should you stretch yourself for these kind of deals? Because I appreciate affordability 20 years ago was very different to affordability now. And that's a question that I'm keen to put to the three of you, if that's okay.
I'll jump in if that's okay. I think the key thing is understanding your budget. I very often say to clients, look, there's no point throwing everything into this transaction if your home becomes prison because you can't afford to go out. You know, we all like to have a bit of a downtime, go out with friends, socialize, do whatever. So it's important that the desire and the dream to buy that lovely house is there, and I get that, but you've got to be realistic about what money's left in the pot when you factored in cost of living, you know, the ability to save a bit of money to replenish maybe the deposit you've just put in, and have a bit of flexible time. So you've got to be honest. I'm sort of well known with my clients of saying how it is, how it is. I'm very honest with them as to you know, the amount of money they're spending. So I think from my side of things, affordability is key, and for the client to understand exactly what they're spending their money on.
What's your take, Gavin, Greg?
From my side, I think from an investment perspective, or a landlord perspective, or residential, I think, you know, there's speculate to accumulate is true, but I think coming back onto my point earlier on, you know, it needs to be comfortable. And obviously, you know, most lenders, if you're borrowing on a buy to let, are quite sensible in their borrowing restrictions, so you probably can't over borrow anyway. But I think you do have a rainy day fund. There's no point in gearing so highly that every month you're, you know, worried about the rent coming in on the day, although it does 99.9% of the time, but it just makes the whole investment process uncomfortable. And I think you do need a fund. Coming back onto my comment earlier about property needs to be in good state. you know, you can't just run a property, collect the rent and not do anything to it. There are going to be costs. You know, a boiler will go wrong every now and again. You are going to have to redecorate, and you are going to have to put a new kitchen in every 10 years. So I think it's that you need to be really mindful of those points and save, you know, hold some money back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have anything to put on that, Gavin?
Yeah, I would say that you can't really see property, no matter what price point, as just a sort of means to an end. It's got to be somewhere that you're going to enjoy your life in. Because if you look at property prices, haven't tracked inflation over the last, certainly over the last decade, but arguably over the last 20 years. So you can't bank on capital growth like we used to when we were very much younger people. So I think it's about the experience of owning and enjoying that place and living your life there. And as Mark rightly said, and Greg's just espoused, you live within your budget. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the world. So it's all about a sense of place and making it your own.
Absolutely. And just staying with you, Gavin, if we can, the third of the hard questions. You have also chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have we picked it?
Well, song choice is Russians by Sting. And I've chosen that because of my daughter, who's a bright, self-aware, world-aware 22-year-old who can't quite understand why humans haven't learned from their thousands of years that went prior to them, particularly sort of middle-aged men, power-hungry men who seem to be negatively affecting our world more so than ever. So hence the choice, because Sting articulates it very well.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Before that song, we've been speaking with our three experts, so Gavin, Greg and Mark, all about property in Oxfordshire. We've been discussing whether you're starting out, so whether you're looking just to buy your first property, or whether you're a landlord, or whether you're looking for that dream home. One of the things that I'm keen to build on, Greg, which I think really sums up the three businesses on the show, and I'd like to say Thompson and Terry, the four businesses on the show, is we're all small local independents, and I know that Brecon are very big on pushing local, and you've gone kind of outside property a little bit with that. Can you just kind of share your thoughts on, I guess, why have Brecon pushed the local piece so heavily, but also what do you see as the importance of I guess local businesses supporting each other?
I think local businesses supporting each other is, you know, it's kind of just what we should do, right? There's a lot of corporates, there's a lot of national, you know, national brands that we're up against. And I think it's really important that, you know, while we're all trading in a local area and local business, it's just really important that if you can look local, then that's the first thing you should do. I think as far as our involvement, you know, there's a commercial angle to everything, right? We can't shy away from the fact we're all in here to do business, but I think we also want to do the right thing. And I think if we can support local charities or local events, then we're very, very happy to do so. And I think, you know, it's not always about, I've said about being commercial, it's not always about the payback by any stretch. It's just about doing the right thing and lending support where we can. And we're in a fortunate position where we can, we can do that.
Absolutely. Sorry, it was just a very off-topic thing because I around kind of the independence piece. Mark, continuing with my tidying up the I guess kind of the end of the show. I'm just really keen to. I think something that's come out of the show is that it's always good not to presume what everybody knows. And I think a lot of shows that we've done, whether if it's about recruitment, I feel like I know a lot about it, but not necessarily about X sector. What is the process of working with a mortgage broker? What does that look like in comparison to going to the bank, which is, of course, another option?
I think the big difference is you've got somebody on your side to help you through the overall process. If you go to your bank, they may have a good rate available for you, but you know, you're not going to know whether it's the right deal or is there a better deal out there or something slightly different that benefits you in a different way. So using an advisor, you know, we're doing the legwork for you, looking around the marketplace, doing the affordability, talking you through the pros and cons. And I very often say to clients, look, it's not my job to tell you what to do. That's a broker. And there's a little bit of a difference between broker and advisor, but the key for me is advising. I'm advising clients. I'm not telling them what to do. So My job is to take the information, listen to their wants and needs, add in a bit of life experience. So I was in the military for 16, 17 years, married, two children that have grown up and left home or leaving home. Been a landlord, I've sold property, I've made good decisions, bad decisions. So what I try to do is bring that into the conversation and allow the client to, you know, take themselves along the journey. I'll fill in some information along the way and we get to an agreed outcome, which might be, I want to take a 2-year fixed rate on this new purchase. That's fine. Is it the right decision? It's the right decision today. But if we see a change in the world like we've seen over the last few years, you know, I myself did a 2-year fixed rate last time around at 1%. I could have had a 5-year at 1.5%, but I took a 2-year because I wanted some flexibility this time around. That didn't pan out the way I wanted it to. So I look back at my decision and go, yeah, I should have taken 5-year. But hindsight's a wonderful thing. That's what, you know, the role of the advisor is to do, is to talk you through some of their own life experiences maybe, or what they're seeing their clients do, take them along. And at the end of that process, the client's going to walk away knowing why they have the mortgage that they do. They'll know why we've chosen the particular lender, which might be down to the property or their client's particular circumstances. And they'll understand why we've taken a 2-year, 3-year, 5-year fixed or tracker or whatever it is, because we've had that conversation. And I think because the average age of buyers is probably a little bit higher now, there is sometimes a concern that they should know a lot of the stuff. You know, when you do something for the first time, you might have an idea and Google's great for finding out information, but physically talking to somebody and going through it is invaluable. Recent experience with my son, you know, he's just bought his first car, went online, had a quote for £2,000, found the car, bought the car, went to do the insurance and it had gone to £4,500. Now that's just online. So, you know, dad kicks in and says, right, let's pick up the phone. So pick up the phone, an hour later, we got it back down to the 2000 mark. But it's because we were able to speak to an advisor who had the experience of dealing with these situations and we resolved the problem. And it just highlighted the importance of being able to physically speak to somebody, whether it's, you know, a Zoom or a phone call or face-to-face. But physically speaking to people can make quite the difference on the advice process.
You really set up my nice question nicely, because I wasn't sure what my link was going to be, but you've given it to me. So Gavin, something you touched on earlier in the show is that you have 80% of your clients come from referral. I know that you guys from people that I know who have used you always comment on how strong the service is. I think the big advertising campaign, and we won't bash the big corporates right now, but the likes of Purple Bricks, the online agent, are promoting no fees and that they're great at X, Y, and Z. What is the process of working with you, but also why should an individual use you as opposed to the handoff by an online service? I'm just quite keen to understand kind of that marketing and service piece a little bit, if that's okay.
I think it's probably partially born out of the fact that we are, I mean, for instance, a smaller business than Greg's. And going back to his point, I recommend Greg's business when somebody asks me for another business that I'd recommend in the sector. I think primarily it's synaptic, really. A lot of the people we deal with already know somebody that we've dealt with. So it's a sort of it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So somebody's had a good experience with us and they've used us on a number of occasions. So somebody's come to us for that very reason. And because we are a reasonably small business, it's like we use it like a sort of, I suppose, how we used to use our bank accounts, that we only spend what we've got in there. We only deal with a certain number of people at any one moment in time, because we know that we can fulfill a service level that our clients expect us to fulfill. And so they're dealing with me, for instance, right from inception right through to completion. There's nobody else going and handling viewings on their property. That can be a very nuanced process. It sounds simple. It isn't, because the right thing that can be said, you can't manipulate people into buying a property. But you can say things to people that would open up their thinking about an area, a house, and their decision to buy. So it's dealing with the same people throughout the process, which more often than not the independent businesses will be more adept at.
Absolutely. Greg, I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit, if that's okay, and hopefully you forgive me off the back of this question, which is a chicken and egg kind of question, but I think a big thing that is reported is individuals, whether they buy or rent. And what are the considerations if somebody's listening right now that they may be looking to go into the property sector? Do they rent? Do they buy? And I appreciate it's quite a simple question and there isn't a one size fits all. But I'm just wondering from your experience, what your pointers would be in terms of that, I guess, that deliberation.
So do they rent or do they buy? Oh, that's a really good question. I think, so just look at the attractions of both, really, in your own personal circumstance. I think, you know, there's huge attractions for renting in terms of it gives you huge flexibility. There are difficulties with coming into the rental market at the moment in the market is very strong and, you know, there's not a lot to choose from. Mm. So becoming a tenant at the moment isn't easy, to be fair. You know, again, it's you can't just necessarily pick up the phone and find your dream home. But if you can secure the right property at the right price, then it does give you, you know, a roof over your head and a degree of flexibility if that's what you'd like. If you're looking to buy, I just think you need to be, it probably perhaps comes back to that sort of comfort question, actually. You know, if you can afford to buy, you know you're going to be sat in the area for the foreseeable future, then buying is a great option, of course. Everyone wants to get their foot on the property ladder. But I think if you're going to buy, you do need to consider your longer term options, you know, as in, you know, don't buy if you're thinking you might need to, you know, move away in 2 years' time and sell it, because it's, you know, it's not a quick investment. It's a long term investment.
Absolutely. No, thank you. We are very much almost coming to the end of the show, but one of the things I like to do with guests on this show, and I feel a little bit bad because the three of you have been doing this all show, is to really share tips with the listeners. And it can be something we've already discussed and a point that you've already made, but if you were to give one tip as a takeaway tip around property in Oxfordshire, something to consider, what would be your top tip? And I'm going to start with you, Mark, if that's okay.
Top tip, I'll look at those wanting to buy. I would say just go and speak to an advisor first to get a really clear idea of what you can afford to spend. There's nothing worse in my job than having a client say, look, we found a house of our dreams, we'd love to buy it. And then you look into the affordability and their credit reports, etc., and find that they can't do it. So first step is always look at affordability, get a really clear idea. And I think every estate agent out there would value that advice, because it means that people that are coming through the door have a really clear understanding of the market they need to be looking at. There's no point looking at 600,000 if you can only afford 4.
No, really good advice. Gavin, what would be your takeaway tip?
Yeah, I think localism is key, and it tends to be, again, back to independent businesses, those that live locally, they tend to know the community, they tend to know the geography, they tend to know the areas in which to invest, not to invest. So I can't see any other rationale for in terms of advice, other than saying that you want somebody who is focused, and that tends to be the independent business.
Absolutely. And last but certainly not least, Greg.
I think probably similar to the other guys, but I think you just work with your agent. I think there's, you know, estate agents sometimes get a bad rap, or letting agents sometimes get a bad rap, and even mortgage brokers. But there's a lot of professional, there's a lot of good advice out there. And we are here to assist, whether you're a landlord, a tenant, a property seller, property buyer, you know, that's what we're here to do. So I think, you know, we give good advice. So, you know, I think it's well worth working with rather than against.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And what a way to end the show. But unfortunately, we have run out of time. That is the end of the show. But thank you so much to the three guests on the Business Brunch here on Get Radio today. If you are just tuning in, I definitely recommend listening back. We have had Mark Kavanagh, Gavin West and Greg Barnes. So thank you so much to the three of you for your time and contribution to the discussion. We are going to be back next week, as we are every Sunday. And next week, we're talking about scaling a business and when to introduce a senior management team. And to do that, we are joined by Martin Sharkey of CloudCube, Daniel O'Sullivan of the Experience Specialist Group, and Yasmin Briggs of Profitability. Finally, just a reminder, you can catch this show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast version, which is available on all your favourite podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format, because you can see my lovely guests in person, which is available on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing this Sunday, enjoy it, and I look forward to seeing you next week.